Beginning at Jerusalem, salvation was to be preached in the name of Jesus, and then throughout the entire world, that all men might hear the gospel and repent of their sins. So I know that Israel is in for a bad, bad time. And though I have prayed for a number of years for Israel, the Bible teaches he that prayeth for Israel shall prosper. And I prayed for Israel for a number of years. I prayed earnestly and prayed sincerely for Israel. I still pray for Israel. But they're in for a bad time. But we need to pray not only for Israel, but for the people of the United States and the people across the world. I know it's hard for us to understand. You know, we say, Brother Pike, God isn't going to hear our prayer if we pray for somebody over in Germany. And we feel like that if we pray for maybe somebody next door, God might hear our prayer. But I tell you again, as a reminder, Peter said, though you know these things, yet I feel that I should stir up your mind in the Lord concerning them. He said, pray for the kings. Pray for the leaders and rulers of the nations. Pray for the great dignitaries and pray for the people that God will grant repentance unto life to those that are without. For we are a royal priesthood, a people that's made just for that purpose, to intercede for the people of the world. So we need to pray. Pray for the kings, pray for the rulers, pray for the Pope of Rome, pray for the kings. Pray for them. Pray for Jimmy Carter. You might say, well, I don't believe he's going to get saved if I pray for him. I tell you what, even if he doesn't get saved, which I hope he does, and you don't have a right to say he won't because you don't know. But even if he doesn't get saved, God can prepare his heart like he did Saul in the time that Saul was in the kingdom as a leader. God can prepare the heart to where there'll be a good government and at least there'll be mercy for the people. So you pray. You pray. You pray for Israel because it's going to be a sad time for them. I really wish from my heart that I could do more for Israel, and I believe I will. As days go on, I believe that I will. I'm certainly not going to stop sending literature over there. And God's always had somebody bold enough to stand up for the gospel, even if it cost them their head. We're going to still send literature in there. We've got translations for Israel, and we're going to send them in there. And if I go into Israel, you'll have to write me a letter in jail for sure, unless the Lord takes care of me, because I'm just as sure to give some people some literature as I am standing behind the sacred desk when I hit that soil over there. Wherever I meet people and see people, I intend to tell them about Jesus. Because one writer said, judge within yourself whether it's right to obey man or God. And the Bible tells me to preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the Israelites, as well as everybody else. So I intend to do it. They have forbidden me in the state of Georgia and other different states. They forbidden me to pass out literature and told us we couldn't do it. And the laws come up and stopped our group doing it. And all we did was just turn the corner and start on the other corner. Didn't bother Saddam. They did that in Mexico and different places, but we went right on. And because of that, many hundreds of thousands of pieces of literature have gone into the hands of the people. Now then, I said that to get to say this. We're coming down to the proven grounds. Like Gideon, when he took them down to the water, and he began to prove the people to find out who really had salvation. We're just about to get down to the proven ground and find out who really does have God. Because I can tell you this much, if you don't have God in your heart, you're certainly not going to do anything for God when the pressure comes down on you. When the police begin to probe at you and say, no, you go to prison if you do that, many of you are going to quit right there. Now you're going to be just as religious as ever and you're going to keep coming to little Bethlehem. But you're just going to sidestep everything that would get you involved. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pike? Because you're already doing it. Right now, anytime there's pressure, anytime there's anything that gets you involved, you sidestep all of the pressure and you leave it for the Christians. Isn't that right? Leave it for the Christians. You can't find any place in the Holy Scriptures where Jesus ever sidestepped responsibility or where he ever tried to get around doing the will of God. Can you? I wonder if you'd stand with me for just a few minutes. I read some scripture to you concerning the seventh angel. And I don't know just what they call the message this morning. I believe somebody made mention of the name of it, but I don't remember just exactly what it was. The redemption of the earth. They named it the redemption of the earth. We were talking this morning. We were talking about the time being fulfilled. And if you understand spiritual things, or if you understood spiritual things, you know more about what I was saying. But we were speaking of the redemption of the body and what it had to do with. I want to read in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, in the first verse, we'll start reading. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all of the tribes of the children of Israel. All right, you can be seated. Now, we've commented a number of times concerning the four angels. One standing on this corner, another standing on that corner, four angels standing on the corners of the earth. We've commented concerning this, and we've tied it in with the book of Daniel. And we showed you how that this was one and the same vision that Daniel had a vision and John had a vision. And it was one and the same in that these powers that Daniel saw was striving over the waters. They were wrestling over the waters to try to get control of the waters. And we spoke and pointed out how that in them striving to get control, it was of the people or for the people, that waters represent people. And they were striving to get control of the people. And then we named the four different forms of government. We called them the four C's. All of them begins with a C. And we named the four different manners of government or powers that's in the world today, the major powers. And we pointed out how that one is from the east and one is from the west. One is from the north and one is from the south. And we showed how that they are today wrestling one with another, threatening one another, trying to be cunning, and one with another wrestling, trying to get control of the people. In that the angel saw this, he cried out with a loud voice because he saw these four angels closing in. They were closing in. All of these powers are gradually closing in. How do you understand that? They are slowly but surely closing in to take over. And there's going to be an awful battle. There's going to be one of the most fierce battles of bloodshed that there's ever been in the history of mankind. All of them are closing in. Every power feels that they are able to take control of the world. And they're gradually closing in, all four of them coming together. And they're going to meet head on, just like two automobiles. And when they come together, there's going to be a great turmoil, great trouble like there never has been since the world was. And this angel kept watching him close in. And all of a sudden he cried out with a loud voice, saying to the four angels that held the four winds of the earth. See, the four winds was doctrines, was powers that was about to turn loose to where they could clash with each other. And this angel coming from the east, he cried out and he said, see that you hurt not the earth, the land, the sea, the trees, nothing, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. See that you don't turn these four winds loose. Because if these four winds are turned loose, there's going to be a great battle. Bombs, weapons of all kinds are going to be displayed in a great warfare. Sorrow, heartaches. The earth just literally blown to bits. You say, how do you know, Brother Pye, that it's going to be blown to bits? I know it because the scripture says it will. The angel said, see that you hurt not the trees. See that you hurt not the earth. See, that tells me that something is going to happen to the earth. It tells me that when these winds are turned loose, that something is going to happen to the trees. Now, men fighting hand to hand in combat, when they do that, nothing happens to the trees. When they fight hand to hand combat, nothing happens to the earth. Maybe a little blood spilt on it. But brothers and sisters, this is going to be something altogether different. And he said, see that thou hurt not the earth. See that you don't disturb the earth. See that you don't disturb the growth of the trees. Hold back the four winds till the servants of my God has been sealed in their foreheads. And the Bible said that the angel watched, and there was 144,000 of them sealed. 12,000 of every tribe was sealed. So we know that he's speaking of the Jewish people. We know that when this comes about, that it's a time of crisis and that trouble is beginning to brew in the land and everything is beginning to get into turbulence. And we know that God begins to call out because he is concerned about the 144,000 people that is to make up these that he's speaking about, his servants. 144,000 he calls his servants. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, I'd love to be in that number. That would be wonderful. I'm sure that most everybody would love to be in that number. But did you know that I joined a greater number than that? I'm in a greater thing than that. The Bible said, see that you hurt not the earth, nor the trees, nor anything in the earth, until I have sealed the servants of my God in their foreheads. But I am not a servant of God. I am a son of God. The Bible said the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. I am not a servant. And though that would be a great thing, 144,000, that I believe will be the eunuchs that will escort the bride right in. For the Bible said these are not defiled with women. These follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They're pure, they're clean, they're holy. See, to escort God's bride as a eunuch, that's the way they've got to be. Years ago, they had eunuchs, those that were in such condition that there could be no relation between man and woman. These eunuchs, so as to see that the bride was never bothered at any time with anything that was disrespectful, they had these eunuchs, and they escorted the bride wherever she went. And see, when you think of that in the spiritual understanding, it means that this world would spot the bride of Christ if she was not escorted, properly escorted, by those that are completely cut loose from all the things of the world. And the Bible tells us that these follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They are without spot, they are without blemish, they are without fault before the throne of God. And I believe that this is the great company, God's servants. Because they are to escort the bride. I believe that they will be present at the great supper of God. Because in the parable that Jesus gave, the Bible said he sent out his servants. He sent his servants out and he gave them an invitation to the supper. He gave them an invitation, but they didn't come. Then he sent out his servants, his armies, and he burned their cities with fire. How many of you know that God is giving an invitation today? God is giving you an invitation to come to this great marriage supper that he's prepared for his wife. If you insult God and you refuse to come to the supper, God will burn your cities with fire. Because he's the great Lord of lords and the King of kings of all the earth. And he demands reverence and he demands respect. You know, God is very tender. God is very precious. God loves you. He'll do anything to love you. He even come down this world, personified himself in a human body, and put tender hands at Calvary and let the nails pierce his feet to bleed for you, to be your friend, to find your fellowship. He'll do anything. He'll sacrifice himself on the altars of your feelings, forgiving you over and over just to be your friend. Did you know that? That's the way Jesus is. But there will come a time and there will come a day when God won't do that anymore. When he sees that you're going to disrespect him, you're not going to have any love for him, and you're not going to have any concern for him, then God will burn your cities with fire. He'll take this earth and just literally tear it apart. He will be very angry. He will meet you, the Bible said, as one that meeteth a bear that's been robbed of her cubs. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. He said to America, he said to Israel, he said to Germany, he said to Russia, beware all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. He didn't make any apologies to anyone. God says to you and I, take time to be holy. It doesn't matter whether you have time or not. Take time to be holy. It's like a young fella told me the other day. I told him to invite his mother from California to the meeting. He said, I've asked her to come, but she says that she's too busy. I said, you need to write her a letter and tell her that there is a special scripture in the Bible just for busy people. And this is the way it reads. The Bible said, take time to be holy. It doesn't matter how busy you are, how important you are, whether you're the doctor, the lawyer, the dentist, whether or not you're the president, the king, or whatever, God said for you to stop your duties and take time to be holy. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I'm going to take time to be holy. I don't care if I'm sleepy, if I'm hungry, if I'm busy, I'm going to stop right where I'm at and take time to be holy. You might be a traveler and you might travel here and there and feel that you don't have time to settle down and do anything for God. But I want you to know one thing, that God's going to burn your field with fire. He's going to set your fields on fire. In one of these days, you're going to wish that you'd have settled down and stopped somewhere and done something for the Lord Jesus. One of these days, you're going to realize that you're not so important, that God is going to save you in spite of yourself. Like a businessman told me down in Waco, Texas, said, I've decided that God's going to save the people in spite of themselves. Well, I've got some news right fresh off the presses of God. God isn't going to save anybody that don't want to be saved. God isn't going to save anybody that doesn't call upon the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Brothers and sisters, you're going to seek God. God's already done all that he's going to do in seeking you. Somebody would say, well, God's going to seek me till he gets me. God isn't going to seek you at all. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus died at Calvary. God sought you until he spilt his blood. But that's as far as he's coming. He won't ever come beyond Calvary. He stopped at Calvary. And right then and there is where you meet God. He sought you to Calvary, and that was as far as he could go. He laid down his life, and he spilt his blood for you. But brothers and sisters, you're going to have to go to Calvary, and that's your beginning place. Right there is where you pick up the cross of Christ. Right there is where you begin to die. Right there is where you finish the works of the Son of God that was in your behalf. You understand what I'm saying? You come down to the waters. You come down to the crossing. You come down to the place to be proved. See, there's terrible things on its way. There's a proving that's on its way. There's a terrible crisis that's coming your way and coming my way. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. They said, see that you hurt not the earth. See that you hurt not the trees. Why? Because there's awful things that's coming on this earth. And we're right on the verge of a great catastrophe right at this very present time. The whole world is in travail. But we're going to have to meet the conditions of Jesus the Christ. I believe in my heart that God is so sad and God is so tired of evangelists traveling from coast to coast and trying to make it easy for people to get into the kingdom of God by telling them they don't have to do anything but just believe. I spoke of it this morning. I believe God is sad over that. God wants the preachers to preach the cross. Let him that come after me take up his cross, Jesus said, and follow me. And wherever I am, there my servant shall be also. This charismatic move that's in the world today, a lot of good holy people mixed up in it. But there's also perverts mixed up in it. Thieves and robbers and liars and cheats. Swindlers mixed up in it. A lot of good people that's been misled. But let me tell you something, Christian friend. When somebody tells you that you're going to get in the kingdom of God without submitting to God and without giving up the world, you tell him he's a liar. There is no such word of God that says you're coming in by being some playboy or playgirl, belonging to something like they publish in The Hustler. No such thing as long-haired hippies running across the nation, taking dope, doing the thing they're doing. Nobody like that will go into the kingdom of God. Jesus said through the mouth of Paul one time, he spoke of perverts, he spoke of murderers, he spoke of whoremongers, he spoke of whorish people, and he said, such was some of you until you believed on the name of the Son of God, and then your sins were forgiven. And God washed you clean. And God made you holy. And God translated you into the marvelous kingdom of his lovely Son, Jesus. Such were some of you. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Come out from among the world and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. You can't stay in the world and be a Christian. The Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Hallelujah. Have you got the love of heaven in you? I tell you something, if you haven't got the love of heaven in you, you haven't been born again. What you need to do is get the love of heaven in you. Get the love of God in you. Get the love of spiritual things in you. Be concerned about the things of God. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. People who have their minds on the things of this world, they're going to die. People that have their minds on the passions of the body, the appetites of the body, the prosperity of the world, they're going to die because they love the world and they haven't got the love of God within them. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God doesn't want me to have anything in the world? God has already given you the world. God has already given you everything that's in the world that's decent and upright. Everything he ever created. I brought it out in the message this morning. But God doesn't want you to follow after the world in the sense that there is a system out there that is perverted. There's a religious system that's perverted also. And they're turning into a charismatic order. I say this again. Numbers of years ago, I spoke of a move like the charismatic move that would come in. I know the name, when you say the word charismatic, I know it has to do with Christ, being Christ-like. I understand it's got two definitions. One of them's good and one of them's not good. And I understand, but I spoke of a move that would come one day and it would be like that. I said it'd be a religious move and thousands of people will flock to it. And I said when they come to this great move, the thing that they will do is shirk the spirit of holiness. I said they'll be religious and they'll believe in speaking in tongues. They'll believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They'll believe in healing. They'll believe in prosperity. But doesn't the devil also believe in that? You know why a lot of evangelists preach prosperity? Because they know that people are foolish enough to follow them because they're hungry for money and worldly goods. You know why a lot of evangelists preach healing? Because they figure most of the world is sick and that's a good way to take them in to get an offering. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I know that we should preach prosperity. God said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. But we are not to be lord over God's heritage or constraint. Take a constraint for filthy lucre's sake. But we're to be examples unto the flock. God doesn't want us ruling over his people for money. He doesn't want us to preach for money. That's not God's way. Supposing that worldly gain is godliness, he said, from such turn away. You didn't bring anything in this world, and it's for sure, he said, you're not going to take anything out of it. So then, they prey off of the sheep of God. They use God's people. They rob God's people. God's people has a right to the benefit of prosperity. They have a right to the benefit of healing. And we ought to preach healing and we ought to preach prosperity because it's for God's people. But the devil also loves prosperity and the devil also loves healing. And the devil uses that to get control of you. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe the devil uses the word of God. He did to Jesus. He quoted it verbatim. He stood there and said, it is written, and quoted every word of it. Said to Jesus that it is written that he will give his angels charge concerning thee. Isn't that right? Then just cast yourself down from here. For thus it is written, God will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. Isn't that written in the Bible? It certainly is. Satan quoted it because he rules and reigns by the power of the Bible. And the Bible said, be not deceived. One of the writers spoke of it, said that the ministers of Satan has transformed themselves into ministers of light. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds to prove the good and acceptable will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your minds. They go out here in the evils of the world. They participate in the frolics of the world. They do everything that people out there in the world do that's contrary to holiness. And then by the transformation of their minds, they come to the Holy Scriptures and they indoctrinate themselves with the word and with the letter. And they come to you and they preach a prosperity because we're in the days of grace. They're able to get results because the blood is still on the atonement seat. And the people can believe and God has mercy upon them. But they transform their minds from the debaucheries of the world into ministers of word, which is light. Satan himself is transforming himself into an angel of light. Did you know that? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if there's miracles and there's healings, it couldn't be the devil. According to the revelation that John spoke of, when those unclean spirits came out like frogs, the Bible said they went forth into all the earth. Come on now. That took in Georgia. Did you know that? That took in Tennessee. Did you know that? All of the world they went into. And the Bible said they went working miracles that they might deceive them that dwell upon the face of the earth, to gather them together to that great battle of God Almighty. Are you listening to me? That's where a lot of your miracles are coming from. The charismatic order of today is being inspired, but not by God. You say, how do you know that it's not inspired by God, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said if they had stood in my counsel, if they had stood in my presence, and if they heard my word, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. And they're not causing the people to turn from their sins. They're not causing the people to turn away from the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You understand what I'm saying, children of God? So then what should I do as a minister? Should I hold my peace? One writer said, I purpose in my heart that I would preach no more. that I would testify no more, that I would speak of this way no more. But he said it was like fire shut up in my bones. Said I couldn't help but do it. I couldn't help but do it. I said I won't do that anymore. But he said it burned like fire. And after a while I had to open my mouth and tell them of the things of God. Like fire shut up in your bosom. You can't keep quiet. You understand what I'm saying? When I think about the things that's coming on this world, and I think about the awful judgment, and then I look around and I see this great move that I spoke of years ago that God revealed to me would come into the land. And I made this statement. I said, when this move comes, it'll be very religious, but it won't be any holiness to it. And remember, God is a spirit of holiness. If there's no spirit of holiness, there's no Christianity. Because God is the spirit of holiness. Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. God, he said, who is the spirit of holiness. That's why the Bible said out yonder in the millennium when it comes, said in that day when God restores the earth, that great government of God is set up, said there will be holiness unto the Lord on the pots and on the pans and on the horse's bridle. Go out to get the bridle to put on the horse, and there will be horses. Somebody say, you don't believe there are going to be animals out there in the millennium, do you, Brother Pike? The Bible said the lion shall lay down beside the ox. Both of them shall eat straw together. Amen. There won't be any fight because Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Isn't that right? So then, the bridle that you put on the horse, you'll reach up to get it. It'll say, holiness unto the Lord. Over there in the Old Testament, Aaron had a little thing that he set on his head here. This little thing that he put up here to wear when he would go in and out. You remember the girdle? You remember the pomegranates? The little mitre? All of these things that he put on him? Those things was for a spiritual significance. And on this one that he had on his head, it said, holiness unto the Lord. Every time he would go into the presence of God, it would be holiness unto the Lord. What is holiness? When you say holiness, you're not speaking of some Pentecostal churches. There are some Pentecostal churches that's more unholy than some Baptist churches. I thank God there's some Pentecostal churches that's still holy. You understand what I'm saying? God isn't speaking of a denomination. God is speaking of a people. Holiness unto the Lord. Song said, holiness unto the Lord is our watchword in song. Holiness unto the Lord as we march along. See, holiness. Holiness is not a denomination. It's not a Pentecostal move. What is holiness? Holiness is a clean, godly, upright way of living according to Bible holiness. But it goes beyond that. In the Pentecostal realms especially, they have emphasized the Pentecostal way of life, but not the way of holiness. Somebody would say they're holiness people. My dear brother and sister, some of them are far from being holiness people. You understand, folks? Holiness goes beyond that. What is holiness? Holiness is a spirit. Holiness is a spirit. I emphasize that to you. Holiness is not some ritualistic, not some formality. While there's denominations all over the world that have biblical formality, that doesn't save them. You say, well, if we got baptized in the name of Jesus, we'd be saved. You could be baptized in the name of Jesus every day in the week, you still wouldn't have salvation. That doesn't do it. Then what must I do? There is but one eternal life. And what is that one eternal life? God, the Holy Spirit. And what is that Spirit? Paul said, God is the Spirit of holiness. So then what is holiness? It is eternal life. And what must I do? I must call upon the name of Jesus and be born to the Spirit of holiness. Take time to be holy. Be holy even as I am holy. Over there they said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. Isn't that right? Night and day they cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy. Being
the Spirit of holiness. It's like a baby that's born into this world. See, those people that really are God's people, they've been like a little baby born into the world. Like the Jews that are out of God's presence, dead. The little baby comes into the world. And then life has to enter into it. There has to be a spirit of life come into it. That little child has to have a spirit of life to pick it up. It's got a body. It's got a brand new body. You know, when we're born again, we get a brand new body. How many of you know that we get a brand new body? All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me, the songwriter said. See, and it's like a new baby. The baby comes into the world. Everything's fine. But there's something that has to be done. It has to receive the Spirit of life. It just lays there. You might give it a good spanking. And then it screams out. The Spirit of life, a good jolt, and the Spirit of life takes over. That's the way the church has been. It's been born, but it needs a good spanking from God that the Spirit of life can enter into it. The physician needs to give them a good spanking. That'll stir them up. You've heard people say brand spanking new. When a baby comes, he's brand spanking new. So then, what we need in the church is the Spirit of holiness. The church has been a baby. It's like a crawling baby, like a little toddler pulling up, like children playing with their marbles and jumping rope. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming out of its stages of childhood and has begun to come into the stages of manhood. We're beginning to think as men, no more as children, just to run and jump and to holler and to play. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of holiness, the experience from God is about to take place in the baby's life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That body has been dead, it's been lifeless, no joy, no real godly living. Just drifting. You know how a baby is. You know how a little boy and a little girl, you know how they are. The little boy may make all kinds of mistakes. The little girl may make all kinds of mistakes. Always doing something that's mischievous. But see, there comes a day when God brings us out of that. There comes a day of correction. There comes a day of leadership. There comes a day of maturity. Isn't that right? So then, the Spirit of life is beginning to come in. God is beginning to bring us into manhood. We're on the verge of a great revival that will sweep the entire earth. Not in the way the former revivals have been. Because people out in the world, they're not going to live according to holiness. When the writer over there prophesied. You remember the word that was said by John the Baptist's father? Remember what he said? When the Holy Spirit loosed his tongues and he began to speak, what did he say? And thus it is written that we should serve God all the days of our life in holiness and righteousness. See, though, then we need a service unto God. We need to serve God in holiness. We need to serve God in righteousness. If you're not holy, then you need to be holy. For the Bible said, add to your faith virtue. And to that, add godliness. Did you know that? And godliness is holiness. For God is His holiness. That's why they call the Pope of Rome His holiness, which is a great mistake. As I've said many times, there's no living human being in the earth that can be called His holiness. God is His holiness. Isn't that right? So then, let's give ourselves to God. Let's not get carried away with the charismatic order. But brothers and sisters, let's found our salvation on the Bible. Let's build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Let's stand up for the word of God and be like a wise man and build on the rock, Jesus Christ. Well, remember this. Just believing is not enough. Hundreds of thousands of people are doing it. Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Catholics, Presbyterian, all of them. But that doesn't mean that they're going into the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean they're right with God. It's going to be, Jesus said, few that find it. Fear not, little flock, he said. For it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. It's for sure if the great multitudes today that's shouting salvation from the radio and the TVs and the papers, it's for sure that if all of those people have salvation, then God certainly lied. Can you say amen? Amen. He did. God lied if all of these people have salvation. Because the Bible said straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, he said. For many shall try. Baptists shall try. The Methodists shall try. The Pentecostals shall try. The non-denominational shall try. The Jesus name people shall try. Catholics, Presbyterians, all of them shall try. But he said, strive to enter in, for many shall try and shall not be able. Once the master has risen up and shut to the door, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, lest don't be anything but a Christian. Don't tell anybody you're charismatic. Don't tell anybody you're a Baptist. Don't tell anybody you're Methodist. Don't tell anybody you're Pentecostal. But let the world know that you are a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. That you are a Christian. That you're Christ-like. And let your light show it. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's going to take some good works, my brother. Faith without works is dead. Did you know that? It doesn't matter how much you profess Christianity. You're going to have to do one thing according to the Bible. And what would that be, preacher? You're going to have to perfect holiness unto God. The Bible said perfecting holiness unto the Lord. You got to perfect holiness. You just can't pick up a little bit of holiness. Brother, you've got to perfect holiness in your life. That is, you've got to become perfectly holy throughout your entire life and way. You've got to perfect it. That is, you've got to put it together piece by piece. Find everything that God called holiness. And pick up the pieces and put it all together in your life. And perfect it in your life. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then what we need to do is to be born of the Spirit of holiness. God is the Spirit of holiness. Without my Spirit, he said, you are none of mine. You must be born of the Spirit of holiness. Isn't that right? If you're not born of the Spirit of holiness, my brother, you are not in the kingdom of God. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And how did he do it? By faith in the name Jesus with the Spirit of holiness. All right, I love you. The Bible said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. But that's what you've got to do, is come. You've got to come and meet him. Draw nigh unto God and God will draw nigh unto you. Don't put it off. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I've heard so many people, they say, Brother Pike, I just don't feel like this is my night. I don't feel like that the Spirit's drawing me. But let me tell you, Satan is cunning. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Whether it's for you or me or whoever, there is no respect to person. He said, what I say to one, I say to all, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, but now. Said he heard them in a time accepted and secured them. Is that right? He secured them through the things of God. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. Now, I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that you are doing for the kingdom of God. I know that many of you that perhaps have not really been lenient toward the kingdom of God, you mean well. I know that. But that's not going to do the job. Just meaning well isn't going to do the job. I'm sure, Christian friend, that there's many people in hell, as it has been often said, that had good intentions. I'm sure that many people are in the fire that had good intentions. Did you know that today they also have a teaching that you don't have to go to hell. You know, even though you don't live for God, you still don't have to go to hell. Some have teachings that even if you do go to hell, it'll just be for a period of time and the Lord will bring you out on the other side. But that isn't what the Bible said. And then you've got teachings, they say that hell is not eternal. We've expressed this a number of times. It is true that hell is not eternal. Because the Bible said hell delivered up its dead. And they were cast into the lake of fire. But brother, when it speaks of that fire, it said where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And when it speaks of that fire, it doesn't say everlasting fire, which some refer to as spaces of time, but it says eternal flames. I've often said this, if eternal don't mean eternal there, then it don't mean eternal when it says eternal life. If I can't depend on it when it says eternal flames, I can't depend on it when it says eternal life. If you speak away eternal flames, you've got to speak away eternal life. So then the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And I tell you, there's going to be some torment. The Bible said, and these shall be tormented in the presence of the saints and the holy angels. Night and day they receive no rest. And their torment ascendeth up for, or smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. All of these other things, my dear friend, you'd better forget about. Remember, there is no faith unto salvation, but faith by the hearing of the Word of God. You may believe in the Methodist, you may believe in the Baptist, you may believe in the Charismatic, you may believe in the Pentecostal. You may believe in the Catholic, you may believe in the Presbyterian, you may believe in hundreds of thousands of other kind of doctrines and religions throughout the world. But there is but one faith. That faith is by the hearing of the Word of God. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't know whether there is but one God or not. How do you know? What about Mohammedan, Confucius? What about all of these others? Allah, what about them? There is no history and there is no proof where any of them ever done anything in raising the dead. But there's proof that the men that followed this God raised the dead. There is no writings anywhere, any proof. But this has been proven. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Today, education doesn't date back to Mohammedan's writings, but it goes back to the writings of Christ. Did you know that? Everything centers around the Bible. This has been proven. People are being healed today by faith in God in this. The lame are being made to walk. The dead are still being raised by this. But there is no news of that happening among the Mohammedans or anybody else. Now, I don't say that to discredit any person. They might belong to a Mohammedan religion, a Confucius religion, or whatever. And I'm not saying that to discredit a person, because the Bible said preach the gospel to every creature. And that every creature is good. But I tell you what, when it comes to the religions of the world, you are confused, my dear brothers and sisters. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and departing from some kind of religion or departing from some kind of denomination is not departing from the faith, as men would have you to believe. They said the last days they would depart from the faith. What faith? Faith, the word of the living God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. That they would come up in all kind of denominational religious worships. That they would depart from the faith by being some kind of religious fanatic. That they would depart from the word of God. And they would work out something that would tickle their ears and something that will be soothing to them and that will conform to their way of life and make them feel better in what they're doing. Isn't that right? They would leave the word of God, departing from the faith. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the Bible tells us. But I'm so glad, as the song said, that Jesus lifted me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's just sing the little chorus, Amazing Grace. I don't know of anything that testifies more to the condition of humanity than amazing grace. To reach humanity, it's certainly going to take amazing grace. I want you to close your eyes with me as we sing this song. And I want you to lift your hands up, will you? Now, if you can see me or hear me back there or anywhere, I want you to sing this little chorus with me. And the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now let's lift our hearts, our eyes, and mind to the Lord Jesus, to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, to honor Him with our substance, that our barns might be filled with plenty and our presses burst out with the new wine. For they that are called by my name shall humble themselves. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands if they'll call on me, Jesus said. While we sing this little song, if things are not right in your heart, if things are not right with you, then believe. Believe. Have faith in God. Call on the name of Jesus. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of holiness. Yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of holiness. That the wonderful Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, may come in and seal your life. For the Holy Spirit is the seal of your faith, beloved friend. If you do not have the seal of that, then you are not officially His. I say this to you tonight. Remember in the Old Testament, the kings of old had a signet ring. When there was sent out anything from the kingdom in the way of the writing from the king, any kind of an epistle or decree, it had to be sealed with the king's signet ring. It was a seal. If it was not sealed, it was not official. The Holy Spirit is God's signet to you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. What redemption? The redemption of the body. The song said, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear, for the day of redemption is near. The Holy Spirit is the seal of your faith. Though you say you believe, if you do not receive the Spirit of holiness as a seal of your faith, then you haven't made the crossing. You haven't been born again, and your life will not produce the fruits of holiness. And the Bible said, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have your fruits unto God. Even the fruits, your fruits unto holiness, Paul said. If your body doesn't produce deeds of holiness, which is your fruits in the sight of God, beloved friend, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Whatever your body produces, that's the nature that you're born of. That's the spiritual life that's on the inside. That's the way you tell the briar from the wheat. The Bible said, he that sinneth is of the devil. He's never known God. For Satan sinneth from the beginning, is a liar, the father of it. But he that is born of God, he doth not sin. He cannot sin, the writer said, because he is born of God. Let's sing this little chorus. And you call on the name of Jesus as we sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Oh,
to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour I first believe. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun.
Lift your hands now.
Praise God. 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 Praise God.
Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? I wonder tonight, before we close, I wonder tonight how many of you have just recently purpose in your heart that you're going to do a better job for God? Or how many of you tonight with purpose in your heart that you're going to do a better job for God? I feel the Holy Spirit, don't you? I feel Him. I feel Him, Brother Taylor. I feel the great and mighty presence of Jehovah God. I feel Him putting His approval on the things that we have done and the things that we have said. Jesus loves you. Did you know that? Jesus loves you. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. We shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation with joy. May God bless you. May God be with you in the abundance of God's love. Come down upon you. For Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. The Prince of Life said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. That you not only might have life as I've given it to you in this world, but that you might have it without all the heartaches and without all the sorrows. That you might have it not in a temporal way, but eternally filled up and overflowing. Hallelujah. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for a word of prayer. Brother Taylor's going to come and dismiss you.